Well, we got some. I found a somebody sent me something and I put it in writing. So I'm going to read an anecdote. It says, last night my wife and I were in our living room talking about different things, including the subject of life and death. I told her, honey, don't allow me to be in a vegetative state, depending on machines and bottles of liquids to stay alive. If you see me in that state, please disconnect all of those machines that keep me alive and throw away all the liquids that I am depending on. I would rather die. My wife got up and looked at me with a look I had never seen in her before. And then she proceeded to disconnect the cellular phone, the internet, the cable, the DVD, the computer, the iPod. And then she went to the kitchen and threw away the whiskey, the vodka, the tequila, the rum, the wine, the sangria, and all the beer. I almost died. It might sound funny, but unfortunately, it is the truth. So many Christians are in bondage to the different types of addictions of this age, destroying our lives and torturing our loved ones. And rather than sharing good counsel, we simply laugh and ignore it until tragedy strikes in our homes. Well, that wasn't supposed to be sombering, but if the shoe fits, wear it. Last Sunday, we started talking about the subject of spiritual warfare. We started talking and taking a look at the creation of man, the innocence of created man, and then we looked at this fall that man had with sin. We look at the devastating consequences of Adam and Eve's sin that affected all of creation. Then we look at God's plan of redemption for mankind because of his great love for us. The greatest demonstration of power ever was manifested when God raised Jesus from the dead. And to top it all, God declared all who would receive Jesus as their Savior to be part of the body of Christ. That's awesome. And now we are positionally seated with Jesus with the authority to overcome all the power of the devil and all of his demons. And if you really like all those comments, you can go back and listen to the sermon again. I did. I wanted to hear what I said. And you can go to our website, lmclabelle.org, under the sermon tab. And there, the first sermon will be last week's. Of course, maybe after today, it'll be the second one. But we look at that. We also saw that Jesus is the head of the body of Christ, and we are the body. And Jesus is seated high above all principality and power and rule and dominion and every name that is named. And if we are his body, we're there as well. The head does not do the fighting of demons, the body does. You and I who trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, we saw that we are in battle against God's enemies. They can't hurt God except only by hurting his children. That's you and I. And boy, does he like to do that. The only choices we have as a Christian is either be a prepared soldier or an unprepared one. Which one are you going to be? And you need to decide that even today. Now, for today, I want to start saying that the New Testament has got four very important books for us as believers. They are the book of Romans, the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, and the book of Hebrews. And these books, these letters, they are so full of doctrinal truth that we have need of on a daily basis. I am studying Ephesians this month, and I am blown away with all the information that's there and the revelation that God is bringing out that I just didn't see before. And the Lord willing, I plan to teach his books, this book of Ephesians, verse by verse, this coming year on Wednesdays, early in the year, because there's so much there. I don't want to ignore it. I want to remind myself and hopefully pass it on to you. Now, I recommend that these four books you read at least once or twice a year, and you meditate through each part of what you read. I think it's a must for every Christian to go through these four epistles and do them slowly, in detail, get whatever resource you can, and learn as much, because there is so much in there that is applicable to our daily life. So, because I am looking at the book of Ephesians now, here's a quick synopsis of the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is divided into two sections. The first through the third chapter talks about who we are in Christ, our spiritual position in Jesus Christ. Of course, he's talking to the church, to those that believe in Jesus. And then chapters 4 to 6 talk about how we apply our spiritual truth in our daily life. The first half of the book talks about our election, our hope, our redemption, and our authority in Christ Jesus. Then the last half tells us how to be good spouses, good children, good bosses, good employees, and good witnesses. What good is it to be the righteousness of God if we are too holy to cook dinner or to help someone else? You know, sometimes that's the way we get, don't we? Oh, that's just for somebody else. I don't have the time. Eternal life needs to show up at work, at school, and on time. And we need to accept our responsibilities at home if we are called the righteousness of God in Christ. And finally, the book ends with guidance for spiritual warfare. The whole epistle leads to this subject of spiritual warfare and how to be effective in it. And I see glimpses of it. I feel glimpses of it already taking root here, even in our prayers or worship. And just for your information, next Sunday we are going to have a service dedicated to praise, worship, and spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. I don't quite know yet, and probably will not know till then, how things are going to work out. But we're going to give it our best to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, center him in our midst. And you know, if he's here, then there's no place for the enemy to be around us. So, that's a synopsis of the book of Ephesians. And before we get too deep in spiritual warfare out there, the spiritual warfare that we encounter among this world system, we're going to look at the daily warfare within each one of us. So get ready, tenderize your hearts, and receive the engrafted word that is able to save. When we received Jesus as our Savior, our spirit was made alive and able to receive the life of God that he wants to give us on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit came and dwells in our spirit to lead and to guide us on everyday events, right? However, our human mind and our human bodies were not changed by the new birth just yet. I mean, we just became children of God. We're spiritual babies. And our minds have not been touched yet. And our bodies are pretty much the same. And then that's why Romans 12 comes in. The apostle gives us instructions. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here we have our commission. We are called to renew our minds through the Word of God, the Bible. Because we are born in this natural world system, we naturally think according to this world system. But this system is controlled by Satan. God's ways are not really natural to us at the beginning. When we're born into this world, when we grow up, especially we grow in a non-Christian home, God's ways are not natural to us. We have to be transformed in our thinking so that we can understand God's ways. And that can only happen effectively by studying God's word and spending time with Him, getting to know Him personally. And then, as the scripture said, we are called to submit our bodies as a sacrifice to praise the Lord. We are called to crucify our natural inclinations that are worldly, those cravings and those desires, so that we can receive all that God has for us. There is an interesting scripture in Romans chapter 7 that talks about our battle that we have, especially when we're babies. Paul declares in Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." In other words, my spirit is born again, but my mind and my body, they're still the old body and mind. And the body and mind are still very familiar with sin. Verse 15 continues, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Have you ever found yourself? I know you have. You know things that are right, and yet you end up doing the wrong. You have knowledge. Your spirit has understanding of what's right and what's wrong, but there is some force within this flesh and this mind that drives you to, even though you know that that's wrong, that's exactly what you end up doing. He continues saying, "If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good." In other words, my spirit is telling me what's right and what I should do. I'm agreeing with it. Verse 17, "But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." That can be confusing, right? Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, only my spirit. But my mind and my body have not been transformed yet. For to will is present within me." My spirit knows I've got the nature of God within my spirit, but somehow my soul and my body are not identifying with it. "But how to perform what is good, I do not find." And then he says, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice." I am confused within me. I know what's right and I don't do it. And I know what's wrong and I shouldn't do it and I end up doing it. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Now, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church, you and I. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, my understanding, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So he's saying there's a duality of natures within each one of us that have been born again. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, this confusion, this toss to and fro that I find myself within? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, with my spirit, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This is what we find ourselves on a daily basis. All of us who claim to have Jesus into our hearts. This warfare is constant inside of us. We have this carnal, sinful nature still in our physical body that wants to do its own thing against God. And this carnal nature is influenced and ruled by Satan. If it's left on its own, it will dominate our souls and we end up doing the enemy's work of unrighteousness. So our spirits, our born-again spirits, has the life of God, and our flesh, its carnal nature, has death in it. Our souls have to get direction from one of these two sources for us to take action. That's the way our being functions. It is like you have a car, you have tires, you have a motor. The motor is very powerful, and the tires will get us where we need to, but we need a transmission to select what gear to shift. That's the way our soul is. And so our soul is looking for input. And we have the nature of God in our spirit that wants to influence the soul and lead the body to do things righteous. And then we have the carnal nature within our flesh that wants to influence our soul to get us to do unrighteous things. Who wins? The one you feed the most. That's the one that will end up leading the soul into doing what it does. And the whole body gets involved in it. So don't feed the demons in you. Where was I? If our soul chooses to follow the Spirit where the life of God dwells, we will have life as a result. Abundant life. But if our soul slides and sides to the flesh, then we side with sin and we will reap some form of death. Not ultimate death, but something will die within us. Here lies the constant battle, and is mostly in our minds as a part of our souls. You know, our souls are made up of the emotions, the mind or the intellect, and then the will. You see, the soul contains the will, and the will ultimately direct. The will can be influenced by the spirit, or it can be influenced by the flesh. And what you will is what you as a being will end up doing. And this is why the Lord has instructed us to renew our thinking according to His word. And His word, as He already declared, it's spirit and life. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus is saying, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And that's why we have to renew our mind with God's thinking so that we can get to understand the principles that God wants us to have to apply in our daily life, so that our spirit man is the one that leads our souls to get into action, not the fleshly nature that wants to do what the devil wants to do. God gives are far greater than that of the world. The world doesn't have any good gift to offer. God's gifts are all filled with love, joy, and peace. The world may offer you instant satisfaction and pleasure, but it will, and I emphasize always, it will always end up in some kind of death. Sickness, disease, relations die, situations, financially. Jesus understood the temptations of the world. He gave us the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. I know you've read it, so I'm not going to go back there. But if you remember how Jesus explained this parable, first of all, the enemy will try to steal the word from you so that there is no transformation in your mind. So if you listen to the word carelessly, the enemy comes and trip. By the time you leave that door, you're already forgotten what you heard. But if he doesn't succeed there, and you happen to get in the word, and you say, I like this, then the enemy will bring persecution and tribulation because of that word that you got in. And if you don't get properly rooted and grounded in the word, the world will bring pressure because of that word you receive. And the pressure will make you cave in if you don't watch it. But say that you don't cave into the pressure. And you hold on to that word and you say, yeah, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to store it very deep. The enemy has got one more trick. The enemy will stir within you lusts of worldly cares, lust of deceitful riches, and the love of things in the natural. And you may have the word very strong in you, but you see that stuff, you know, the pleasures, the cares, the riches, the physical things that only last for a little bit. I want that. I know I shouldn't, but I'll just have a little bit. Or I'll just do it this time. You submit to those cravings, and the word becomes in you unfruitful. It's not that it's not there. It's just not producing any fruit. And you become a neutralized Christian. And your witness goes down the drain. Notice that the attack is always against the word of God in you. Satan doesn't care about you. You're nothing to him. He wants to oppose anything of God that is in you. That's what he's after. See, once we give in to the tricks of the enemy, there's no more spiritual battle. You're a captive to the devil. There's no two sides anymore. You just rejected the Lord. You went with him. And once he has you, there's no battle. You're just a prisoner. As Christians, sometimes we can choose not to engage in the obvious spiritual battles out there. But we cannot avoid the ones within. You will always have to deal with them. And for many of us, these are the hardest battles to fight. Worst of all, many times we try to fight in our own strength, and we're doomed to fail. That's why we need the body of Christ. That's why we need one another. We need to encourage one another. We need somebody to receive godly counsel. The word sin was first used in a passage in Genesis chapter 4. If you remember, Adam and Eve, after they sin, they have Cain, and then they had Abel, and Cain was a worker in the field, and Abel was a farmer. No, he was a shepherd, dealt with animals. And Abel wanted to present an offering to the Lord. And Cain, I don't know, it doesn't say, but I can just picture this. It was just pressure. Well, Abel is bringing a sacrifice. I have to do that too. And apparently Abel heard from Adam and Eve the kind of offering that God will be pleased with. And so God preferred an offering that involved blood. And Cain said, well, I don't have any animal. I don't want to ask from Abel. And so he decided on his own, I'm going to bring the Lord this offering that I like. He forgot about what God liked. It was all about him. And so they both brought an offering, and God received Abel's offering, but that of Cain, he didn't care for. And so Cain's countenance, he got upset. Well, the Lord didn't care about my gift after I thought so much about it. And so God talks to Cain in Genesis 4, verse 6. He says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? So not only he was downtrodden, he was angry. How dare God reject my offering? God continued, if you do well, he was talking to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So God is telling Cain, if you're doing the right things, you certainly will be accepted by me. But if you're not doing the things that you know are right, then sin lies at the door. However, it's not there yet. Cain was contemplating some things, and God is warning him. He says, this sin's desire is to destroy you. But God says, you should rule over it. So if God said you should over it, that means Cain had what it took to overcome it. But he chose not to. Again, there's a spiritual battle here even with Cain. The Spirit of God is telling God, you should do what is right. And the flesh is saying, we got to get even. And you know the end of that particular incident. Cain went and killed his brother Abel. And by Cain choosing to follow his fleshly desires, those desires rule over him, bringing a type of death to his life. There are a few scriptures in the New Testament. I'm going to bring just two of them, so don't get too paranoid. You know, when I said a few, it could be 25, but I only chose two. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus tell his disciples this. Verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you know the context of what Jesus is saying here, the spirit has everything that you need to be successful and victorious. When he says the flesh is weak, he's actually meaning this flesh is really strong in enforcing its own desires. So I say, which one of them is the strongest? The one you feed them the most. If you feed from the Word of God, you are going to choose righteous things. If you feed from the worldly things, the passions of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, then that will become the strongest influencers that will determine what will you accomplish. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're choosing the Spirit side. For the flesh lusts after the Spirit, and the Spirit after the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. They're in opposite poles. So that you do not do the things that you wish. You wish for righteous things, but you do the things that are unrighteous. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. What kind of internal struggles have you got? I know you do. I do too. We will suffer in our flesh whether we feed its desires or even whether we deny its pleasures. We're going to go through some suffering. We are constantly battling between what we want to do versus what we know the Lord wants us to do. It's constant. The flesh doesn't take naps. Neither does the Spirit. The battle is waged because we have been given the power to overcome the control of sin. And Satan doesn't like for us to have any control. He wants to be supreme, and he wants to control you and I. And so there is a battle. It takes two opposing sides. If you're not born again, you're not in spiritual battle. You're dead spiritually. They're not two sides, just one. You're a prisoner. If you are already a follower of Jesus, are you choosing to fight or are you caving in to the desires of your flesh? So maybe you're asking yourself, is Christianity all about fighting and suffering? I mean, that's a legitimate question, huh? You think, well, I thought about the Christianity being about love and joy and peace and all these goody things. After all, didn't Jesus fight for me so I wouldn't have to fight? That almost sounds right, huh? In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Remember that. Remember that the enemy always seeks after stealing you, killing you, and destroying everything about you and around you. But Jesus says, I have come. That they, means you and me, that you and I may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. This is Jesus' words to us. If Christians are not living the abundant life of love, joy, and peace, maybe it is because we don't learn how to claim and maintain those promises. Jesus came to earth on the flesh. He lived a life of much suffering, and he denied the desires of his flesh and the temptations of the enemy. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said to them all his followers, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, that's work, and follow me. The Christian life is not a passive one. We are called soldiers of the Lord for a reason. We may suffer just as Jesus, but we are already victorious. Just as Jesus, just like Yesenia was sharing a while ago. We start in victory. We still have to go through the battle, but victory is guaranteed for us. Our Father always gives us good things. And this word victory, we're not defining it like the world defines it. You know, the one that climbs the highest ladder and kicks everybody else down that they're coming. No, 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 that's not the definition of victory that God wants us to have. Listen, don't we all want the desires of our hearts being fulfilled? Don't we want to ask God and see our prayers answered constantly? Don't you want to hear the ruler of the universe say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? I got to read one more scripture before I close. I know it's late, but you can tolerate me for a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Actually, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And this is very important. We don't fight flesh and blood. We fight principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness of high places. We don't fight people. We fight ideologies of the enemy. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are places where the enemy hide. And how do we pull those down? Casting down arguments. In fact, King James says imaginations. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Here and here, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, once we cast down everything that tries to exalt itself against God's knowledge that has been given to us and we side with the Spirit, then we are ready to punish the disobedience by saying, no, I will not do that, and I will not be part of that. So, if you find yourself today captive to the lust of the flesh, to this world system, to demonic powers, the first thing you need to do is repent. You know you've done wrong. You've chosen wrong. You sided with the flesh. And we know when we do that, boy, there is a fear that we feel in our hearts that we know, boy, we messed up royally. I wonder what the penalty is going to be this time. Because it's going to cost you. Sin will always bring some sort of death in us. So repent, come clear before God. We pray, we sing about the blood of Jesus. Come clean before the Lord. Come before this altar as a demonstration of your repentance. Or make your own altar. Allow the Lord to restore you. Let his blood cleanse you again. Just like when you were born again. The past is gone. There is now no more condemnation. when you come to him in repentance and confess. And then let us pray with you against those forces that constantly fight against you and many times win. And of course, if you have not received Jesus as your Savior and you want to, then come down and we'll help you. But by all means, don't continue with this struggle being defeated time after time after time, because after a while you say, what's the use? I'm going to lose anyway, so I may as well enjoy it while I do it, even though I know I'm going to be dying in many ways. That's not the choice of a Christian. That's not your choice. God sent Jesus so that we may have abundant life. And that's attainable even here. Yeah, we will have trouble. We will have struggles and tribulations and hard time. But be of good cheer. He will give us joy and peace. He will give us the love that he has for us, even while here. And then once sin is done away with for good, we will have an eternal time of glory, just like Olivia was singing. That heavenly choir, we're going to be part with it. And we're going to experience things that we never even dreamed about. I'm looking forward to that. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Father, that you're preparing us to be the effective soldiers that you have called us to be. And Father, that requires discipline. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us understanding on how to apply the weapons of warfare that you've already given us. Lord, that we would not side with the desires of the flesh, this carnal nature that drives us in doing things against you. But Father, we would side with your nature, your love, your peace, your joy, your temperance, your goodness, patience, all those things that you are and that you want us to become like. Help us, Lord, to overcome by the word of God and the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Lord, that we would have the tenacity to stay with it until we are overcoming. I thank you, Father, for people that are willing to put the fight. No matter how low we have fallen, Father, we're willing to get up once again and fight the good fight of faith. Father, I bless your people, and I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar is open. If you need prayer, come on down. God bless.